So this is a sermon about rock climbing. When I was in my early 20s, I was a student at Arizona State University, and some friends of mine invited me to go with them on a rock climbing trip. One Saturday morning, we drove out to a rock formation north of Phoenix. Today, a website describes Pinnacle Peak City Park as the crown jewel of the Phoenix granite climbing. Back in the early 1970s, dust and cactus surrounded the pillar of rock as it rose out of the desert. When I first looked at this pinnacle, it seemed unlikely to me that I could climb to the top. I thought that perhaps I could sit at the bottom and watch my friends. But they patiently taught me the basics of rock climbing that day. They showed me how to use the ropes safely. They showed me the handholds. They showed me where to place my feet and how to move up the side of this pinnacle. They taught me how to move carefully, slowly, to plan my climb deliberately. And after a while, the calm, the pleasurable feeling that comes with mastering a new skill replaced my fear of falling. I discovered I could do more than I realized. And in 2 hours, we reached the top of this pinnacle with its spectacular view of the desert floor below us. We ate the food that we had brought with us. Then my friends taught me how to rappel down the side of the pinnacle. I leaned backward against the rope. As I pulled it out and let it loose in my hand, I could walk down the side of the pinnacle. The friction of the rope around my back held me in place and let me down. As I released the friction slightly, I could go down the side. Perpendicular to the pinnacle, I walked down to the bottom in about 5 minutes. It was an extremely happy experience. In the months that followed, I went out with my friends on several Saturdays, climbing mostly in the granite rocks near Prescott, Arizona. Each time I felt the same mixture of feelings. I felt anxiety that I had taken on more than I could handle. Then, as I mastered the new skill, I felt happy, being outside in the warm air, feeling the hard granite rock against my skin. I felt happiness. This morning is my last sermon in a series of sermons about happiness. 4 weeks ago, I talked about studies on happiness that were conducted in the 1990s. People were asked if they were happy, and the researchers concluded that we have some control over our happiness, because our mood is to some degree determined by the comparisons that we make. A simple conversation can make us happy after we've engaged in a day or two of silence. After we've taken a walk in the Florida heat in the summer, walking into a cool, air-conditioned space can make us happy. It's the contrasts and the comparisons that make the difference. I also said that studies of identical twins raised apart, indicated that our happiness is partially determined by our genetics. Some of us are born with a tendency to feel happy. 3 weeks ago, I explored the idea that the chemicals we put in our bodies can help us make us feel happy. For at least 55% of the people who try them, antidepressants appear to be effective treating the illness of depression. And I say about 55% because this is self-reporting data. You ask people, how do you feel before they take the antidepressant? And then you ask them a month or two after they take it, and they tell you, I feel better or I don't feel better. And based on that, we know that some percentage, some estimate about 55%, feel better. They don't always work, though. They do help some people feel happier. 2 weeks ago, I talked about a movement that has developed in the last few years called positive psychology. According to positive psychology, it is a mistake for us to try to do things that are not our strengths and that we don't really care about. Unhappiness comes from trying to achieve and accomplish things that just are not things we care about or are our strengths. A key to happiness, according to positive psychology, is to discover our strengths, discover our strong interests, and to put our time and energy into doing activities that reflect our strengths as human beings. Obviously, these strengths can change over time. Rock climbing might have been a strength for me in the early 1970s, but my body has aged, and it is not a strength for me today. Last Sunday, I left the subject of happiness to reflect on the events in Charleston. But today, I want to return to this theme and talk about the word flow. Now, a psychologist with a Hungarian name, which I have difficulty pronouncing, Csikszentmihalyi is the way they say it should be pronounced, Csikszentmihalyi. They say that colleagues who work with him call him Mike. Psychologist Csikszentmihalyi is a professor at Claremont Graduate University. And he has spent most of his career on the faculty of the University of Chicago. Now, he grew up in Europe, and as a young psychologist, he became an expert rock climber. He observed that on the days he was rock climbing, sometimes he wouldn't notice where the time went, whether he and his friends had lunch or not, or what climbs they had done. As a psychologist, he called this feeling, this sense of loss of time, flow. It's been described as being in the zone or being one with the music. Dr. Csikszentmihalyi believes that human beings are happy when we are in a state of flow. If you've ever lost an afternoon to a really great conversation with someone, if you've ever gotten so involved in a project that you've forgotten everything else going on around you, then you've experienced flow. We feel happiness when we are completely involved in an activity for its own sake. In a state of flow, we stop thinking about our appearance. We stop worrying about other people's opinions of us. We lose track of time. Our whole being is involved, and we are using our skills to the maximum. Under Dr. Csikszentmihalyi's direction, about 45 years ago, a research team at the University of Chicago began a study interviewing thousands of people around the world. They found that this flow experience is reported in essentially the same words by women they interviewed in Korea, by adults in Thailand and India, by teenagers in Tokyo, by Navajo shepherds, by farmers in the Italian Alps, and by workers on an assembly line in Chicago. All of us sometimes enter a flow state when we are fully absorbed in activity, during which we lose a sense of time and have feelings of great satisfaction. Researchers believe that flow sits at the heart of almost every athletic endeavor. It is part of progress in science, and it is part of artistic creation. When we watch a live concert of music, when we watch a live sporting event, when we watch a play, when we are doing this, we are essentially watching people who are in the zone, people who are in a flow state. Researchers studying flow asked people to carry an electronic pager. This study was done before cell phones. To carry an electronic pager for a week and to write down how they were feeling and what they were doing when the pager signaled. The pager went off about 8 times a day at random intervals. Now, this was an exhaustive study. Over 100,000 such reports were collected from different parts of the world. It was the largest global happiness study ever conducted. From this research, a simple diagram was developed to show what every flow activity has in common. Now imagine the diagram on the front cover of the Order of Service. Imagine that this represents a specific activity. For example, singing a hymn during a worship service. Now, each of us has some degree of skill in singing, and this skill is represented by the vertical diagram going up. At the bottom, if you're not a great singer, that's where you are. On the other hand, Robert would be up at the top on her high as a skilled, trained singer. At the same time, different hymns in our hymnal represent different degrees of difficulty, depending on how familiar or how complex the hymn might be. So singing Spirit of Life, if you're a regular here at the church, it's probably in the low difficulty area because we do it almost every Sunday. Whereas there are probably 150 hymns that we have never sung in the hymnal. Say 297, the Star of Truth. I don't ever remember singing that. That one might be a higher difficulty because we're not familiar with it. So when we are low in skill and high in difficulty, we are in that triangle called anxiety. We're trying to do something that we're not really feeling confident about. On the other hand, there's a hymn that The Lone Wild Bird in here. And I remember a music director saying, I hate that hymn because every single Unitarian group I've ever worked for wants to sing The Lone Wild Bird, and I'm just so sick of it. It would be an example of a requiring low skill and low difficulty, and it would put the music director in the area of triangle called boredom. But there's a middle section. When the difficulty and the skill come together, so you're challenged, you're not bored, but you're not so challenged that you're anxious. You are in the flow. And that is the place where Dr. Csikszentmihalyi said, we are happy when we're engaged in an activity. Happiness is found in the flow channel, where our skills and our difficulties are in bounds. Now, I should note that flow experiences do not provide a guide to ethical or moral behavior. The researchers suggested, for example, that an accomplished, skilled bank robber could experience a flow while robbing a bank. Dr. Csikszentmihalyi says, we need religion to guide our ethics. Still, finding flow in moral and ethical ways is encouraged by great religious leaders. Flow is like a mystical experience in religion. And Reverend Howard Thurman, the great civil rights leader, said, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. Because what the world needs most is people who have come alive. Describing flow, one rock climber said, you are so involved in what you are doing that you aren't thinking of yourself as separate from the immediate activity. You don't see yourself as separate from what you are doing. The mystique of rock climbing is climbing. You get to the top of a rock, glad it's over, but really wishing it would go on forever. The justification of climbing is climbing. You don't conquer anything except things in yourself. Climbing is recognizing that you are a flow. The purpose of the flow is to keep on flowing, not looking for a peak or utopia, but staying in the flow. It is not a moving up, but a continuous flowing. You move up to keep the flow going. There is no possible reason for climbing except the climbing itself. It is a self-communication. Well, it's been 45 years since I've done any rock climbing. Still, I do remember the intense feelings I had climbing up granite formations. It was exciting and scary. It was physically and intellectually challenging to try to discover where I could place my feet and where I could put my hands to pull myself up that cliff. And there was happiness of being with good friends who helped me learn how and held how to climb and held my life in their hands as they held onto the rope into which I was attached. Now, researchers say there are a number of chemical systems involved in this experience in our bodies. They say the process includes a flow of dopamine, norepinephrine, and endorphins. The flow I felt was a flow of such chemicals. And after the excitement of the rock climb had passed, as I sat on the summit and looked out over the splendor of nature, there was a serotonin high, a serotonin calmness that flowed over me. A dancer describes how flow feels when a performance is going well. The dancer says, "Your concentration is very complete. Your mind isn't wandering. You're not thinking of something else. You are totally involved in what you are doing. Your energy is going very smoothly. You feel relaxed, comfortable, and energetic." A parent describes spending time with her small daughter. The parent writes, "Her reading is the one thing that she's really into, and we read together. She reads to me, and I read to her, and that's a time when I sort of lose touch with the rest of the world. I'm totally, totally absorbed in what I'm doing." And a chess player says, "The concentration is like breathing. You never think of it. The roof could fall in, and if it missed you, you would be unaware of it." A surfer says, "There is no beginning and no end. There is no time. There is no thought. It's just pure." Well, how can I encourage this flow experience among Unitarian Universalists? One of the things the researchers say is that we're more likely to feel in the channel of flow when we are active participants. So I want to get you engaged this morning. I want to try an experiment right here in our worship service. I'm going to make a few short positive statements. And after each of them, I'm going to invite all of you to shout an affirmation back to me. Flow is the experience of enjoying yourself without worrying about what others are thinking about you. So don't think about, well, did I say that right, or am I embarrassing myself? Will people later on laugh at me? Forget about what other people are thinking. Do not think about how you may look to other people. So let's practice, first of all. Let's try, just to begin with, a Jewish word that means praise. The word is hallelujah. Let's all shout, hallelujah, hallelujah. Great. You got it. Okay, let's try another one. Some variety here. Let's suppose you're really excited by my sermon. Can everybody shout, "Preach it, brother! Preach it, brother!" All right. Now, you might be able to do this better if you stand up. As you're able. You don't have to if you're not able to, but I'm going to make a few declarative statements. Those were just examples. Hallelujah, preach it, brother. Use your own imagination. You're smart people. Pick your own affirmation and respond after I say these words. We affirm the worth and dignity of every person. We promote justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. We affirm the acceptance of one another. We encourage spiritual growth. We promote a free and responsible search for truth. We encourage the use of democratic process. We affirm the goal of peace, liberty, and justice for all. We encourage respect for the interdependent web of all existence. Yeah, amen. All right. Can we all shout amen? All right. Let's sing it. Amen. 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 Thank you all, brothers and sisters. All right. Now, when I first went rock climbing, I didn't feel the flow immediately. I had to learn the skills and develop it before it came on me. But you're beginning to learn the skills of being in the flow, of feeling like you don't care what other people think of you or how you look, but you're just into the moment. All right. Now, it doesn't all have to be really aggressive and loud. This summer, I hope to do some walking like John Trevor in the reading. I want to spend a Sunday morning not at church, but perhaps on a 6-mile walk through the countryside. Perhaps walk to a pub with a name like Cat and Fiddle, as he did. Perhaps while walking, I will experience, in Trevor's words, an inward state of peace and joy and assurance, indescribably intense, accompanied with a sense of being bathed in a warm glow of light. Either the beer at the pub was especially good, or John Trevor was in a state of mystical flow. I'm fond of quoting from this pulpit the words of the Vietnamese Buddhist Thich Nhat Hanh. Over the years, these words have meant a lot to me. I like to walk alone on country paths, rice, plants, and wild grasses on both sides, putting each foot down on the earth in mindfulness. I know that I'm walking on the wondrous earth. In such moments, existence is a miraculous and mysterious reality. People usually consider walking on water or in thin air a miracle. But I think the real miracle is not to walk either on water or in thin air, but to walk on the earth. Every day, we are engaged in a miracle which we don't even recognize. Blue sky, white clouds, green leaves, the black, curious eyes of a child, our own two eyes, all is miracle. So optimal happiness lies in that space between boredom and anxiety, in the channel of flow where our skills and our challenges, where our skills and our difficulties meet. We can make that channel of flow wider by learning to enjoy the miracles of life. This summer, may each of you feel the coolness of a breeze on a hot summer day. May you feel the joy of seeing a cloud against a blue sky. May you find happiness listening to the sound of children playing. May you feel part of the earth as you smell a flower. May you feel the miracle of drinking a cool glass of water on a hot day. May each of you find happiness in feeling you're part of the flow of life.